Hey, you should really practice a little bit. Shimmy Christmas, isn't he so good at that? Right? It's so beautiful. Thank you for starting off our day. I can just listen to that, right? Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, me too. Let's have a worship service because it's Sunday. Anybody wake up and realize it's Sunday because it was the only day this week that the sun was out right at 6? That was crazy. Thank you for the reminder, Jesus. Okay, we got a couple announcements. First of all, you're at Presbyterian Church of the Covenant, where we are worshiping Jesus Christ. We are living out the Father's love, and we're transforming community by the Holy Spirit. And I, for one, am really glad you're here. Got a couple announcements. Most of them are in here. There's no senior options this week. Because of the Raiders. Have you noticed that on the sports field, they got the black up? Raider Nation is Raiders, yeah. They're not as friendly. They're not as friendly as the Chargers. So it's going to be harder to get into our church. And it's not an open practice like the Chargers. So they're not inviting public. So anyway, just heads up. It might be a little harder to get to this local outpost for the next couple weeks. I am switched on. Am I switched on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was I mumbling?
No.
It's not in the ears?
No.
Nothing in the ears. Okay, we got the, because we have hearing assistant headphones that you can listen straight to this, and maybe something's up with the thingamabobby, that wave thingy. We'll pray about that, and maybe we'll fix it during when we welcome one another. We have some birthdays. On Friday, we had Emily and Julia. Tomorrow, it's Doris. The day after that, Tuesday, it's Kim. We also have a Kingdom Triumphant birthday. Starlet. There it is. The sound is working. The sound is working. Round of applause. Sure, we can round of applause. No, nobody wants to be awake. Okay, we're still working. We're still working. Okay, Starlet went to be with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I don't know if you know the stars. We got Starlet and Starlene. So let's wrap Starlene and Carl and Starlet's sister, Diane, who's down from Oregon. Just wrap them in our prayers and love. I visited her a couple times over the past couple weeks, and she was peaceful. And even when she was non-communicative, she would still sing the doxology. And it was just, Danny was asking me right before the service, is that an honor? And I'm like, yeah, that's one of my best, biggest and best honors, is to witness saints. But we gotta pray for those of us that Starlet left a huge hole, you know? We have session on Tuesday. Make sure you pray for our leaders. Parking last night brought in $1,476. So praise God for that. And like Steve said, we would trade it all for just four families to start worshiping with us. Amy, my teammate, I'm Sarah Sabala, she is preaching right now. Well, not right now. They probably start at 10 too. At St. Peter's by the Sea, so we miss her. But she's practicing because she'll probably deliver that sermon in a couple weeks when we're out in the desert. We got cheap rooms out in Palm Springs, and it's not too late because it's going to be 120, you know. It's straight wisdom. It's straight wisdom. And we're just going to go towards the sun. And so I'm going to be out of town, actually on my 5th anniversary here as your pastor, and be doing communion at the top of that gondola thing, you know what I mean? What's that? The tram thing. Yeah, I've never been up that. Have you been up that?
Yeah,
it's cooler up there. But Amy will be preaching down here what she's preaching right now at St. Peter's by the Sea. That's on August 4th. And then I'm preaching, or just, you may or may not know, that we're preaching through this series on the Mudhouse Sabbath. It's a book. I'll put this back out there. And unfortunately, we sold out of all of our copies. But if you want me to order you one, you just give your name, your email, and then I'll order it and tell you when it's coming in. Or you can just go to Amazon and order it yourself. They're about $15. I've heard they're cheaper on Kindles. And just for those of us, because there's a couple new people here today, for those folk, including one of them, my aunt right there, Aunt Coco. Yeah, we don't have to round applause. Yeah, we'll give you a round of applause, but I guess I don't know. Mudhouse Sabbath, Lauren Winter is just a brilliant and a really good writer. And she grew up Jewish, and she converted to Christianity, and she wrote this book called Mudhouse Sabbath. And it's what we can learn about the spiritual disciplines from the Jewish brothers and sisters. And so we're using it as a launching pad to study the spiritual disciplines. And this morning we're talking about fasting. So that's enough heads up for everything. Let's stand up and greet each other in the name of the Lord and pass the peace of Christ. All right, if you're sitting comfortably, I have some bad news for you. I'm going to call to worship and we're going to stand up. But between that community and Micah's piano playing, I feel like today's going to be a good, good day. Our call to worship this morning comes from our lectionary text, which is Psalm 23. And I'm going to use verses 4 through 6 in the King James Version. I'm going to use Psalm 23, 4 through 6 in the King James Version. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us sing, we praise thee, O God, our Redeemer.
Hey. fortress for the weak. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge. You are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember.
When we pass through deep waters or go through times of fiery trial, the Lord our God is with us. With confidence in God, our Creator and Redeemer, let's confess our sins as one voice. You can find the words on the screens or in your orders of worship. Merciful God, in your gracious presence, we confess our sin and the sin of this world. Although Christ is among us as our peace, we are a people divided against ourselves as we cling to the values of a broken world. The profit and pleasures we pursue lay waste the land and pollute the seas. The fears and jealousies that we harbor set neighbor against neighbor and nation against nation. We abuse your good gifts of imagination and freedom, of intellect and reason, and have turned them into bonds of oppression. Lord, have mercy upon us. Heal and forgive us. Set us free to serve you in the world as agents of your reconciling love in Jesus Christ. Do not fear, says the Lord, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. God is doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. By the grace of Jesus the Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand with me and let's sing Gloria Patri. That was beautiful, right? Goodness gracious. Yeah, we can only go down from here, right? No, I'm just messing. It's funny, because that's my mother-in-law, who after my mom passed away, she became my ma, and then that's my aunt, who is kind of a surrogate ma, And they are terrible people to watch television with because they make crazy sounds. When it's scary, it's wah, wah, and they're scarier than what's on the screen. But it was so awesome as you two were jamming on I Love You, Lord. First, they were going, you know, like they were just doing it. And then they just started singing together, and I was like, this is a good thing. This is a good, good thing. Thanks for coming into town, Mina from Florida, and then thank you for being down here, Coco. I know it wasn't for me, but I feel like it was for me. Okay, we're going through Mudhouse Sabbath, and we're talking about fasting. Fasting became something, a part of my life, as I graduated seminary. And I know that's late. You know, I was a youth pastor before then, and I had led fasts, and we did the 30-hour famine with these national things. And I just worked with Barry Martinez up at Forest Home, and I had just finished working at St. Andrews as an intern, and I was graduating seminary. My mom was passing away, and we had a huge decision. We had a huge decision. I was going to my first full-time ministry position, and it was going to either be Summit, New Jersey, or Mission Viejo. PCOM, Presbyterian Church of the Master. Ever heard of it? Okay, good. Maybe some of you haven't, maybe you're not listening. But, okay, so we're at, and obviously, which one would you rather move to? Mission Viejo? Jersey. Okay, and we call up Barry Martinez, and we say, we don't know what to do because the Jersey one feels like God is tugging us that way. And the Mission Viejo one, it seems like the doors are closing. And Barry came over to our house and said, I want you to fast. I want you to stop eating and listen for that still, small voice of God. And that was the game changer. We ended up getting called to New Jersey, and our ministry of moving every 3 years, the gun starter went off, and God's been an amazing part of, and I praise God for all those adventures. But that was the doorway opening into really experiencing slowing down, ceasing from eating food, and hearing God's voice louder. I'm going to read scripture, and we're going to read about this because there's so many reasons to fast. There are so many reasons to fast in Scripture. There's personal growth. There's for healing, fast on behalf of people. I'm going to read a scripture at Ezra, and where Ezra calls the people of God to fast for the safety of the people of God. So Ezra chapter 8, starting in verse 21. There, by the Ahava Canal, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey for us and our children with all our possessions. I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from enemies on the road because we had told the king, the gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to him, but his anger is against all who forsake him. So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and he answered our prayer. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, preach through me. May the words that I speak not be my own, but yours through me. In the powerful name of the risen Lord Jesus the Christ, I pray. And all God's people said, I'm going to come back to that text, okay? Put pause on that. But notice that it's kind of woven in here. First of all, I'd love to you turn to your neighbor and ask, have you ever fasted? And if so, what did you notice about the experience of fasting? Ready? Go. Have you ever fasted? What did you notice about the experience? I know it might mean actually getting up and walking around. Okay, we're going to bring everybody together. I just said to Danny, you got gypped because you got it with the pastor, and so he has to go back up, and you don't get to hear mine. First thing he said, Danny, I was hungry. Anybody with Danny? Lauren Winter is in her chapter on, it's a really good chapter too, once again, on fasting, and she has a negative relationship with it. She's like, it always makes me grumpy. I always forget. I eat meals when I'm not supposed to. But then his second response was, there's something quieting about it. And that's straight out of this chapter. That's straight out of what fasting is about. Lauren describes there's two types of fasting in the Jewish tradition. One is major, and that's 25 hours. You go 25 hours without food, and that's for like Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and you don't bathe, you don't, like, it's a serious, it's like, that's why they call it major, you know, they get the major, and then you have your minor fast, your half-day fast, and I've found in my walk, those are excellent. I'll throw in a little testimonial. Sometimes I'll hear some bad news or something I need to pray about, and I'll declare a half-day fast, and I'll just say, every time I'm hungry, I'm going to lift such and such up in prayer. I don't know if you recall, but I called us all maybe a year and a half ago to fast on behalf of Keith Coslin. And I just saw him the other day, and he's on his way. I don't know if he's on his way to total healing, but he's on his way. So we got your major and your minor, and then why as followers of Jesus do we fast? Raise your hand. Why would we fast? And hear God's voice. Same thing. Hear God's voice. And those will come up. I think we primarily fast as Christians because Jesus told us to. Do you remember in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, when you fast, what does that assume? You're going to fast, right? That's my favorite kind of aggressive, passive. He'd say, yes, you're going to fast. When you fast, do such and such. And he lays out pretty much more specific rules on how to get back to the heart of what fasting has always been about. He says, you know, don't put extra perfume on. Don't announce it to everybody around you. And you remember in the Sermon on the Mount, he's always talking about the heart. He doesn't even care what we're doing. He cares why we're doing everything. And so when we're fasting, it's all about the heart and taking away those parts of your heart that distract or steal from God's joy. Lauren points out that the reasons for fasting have always remained the same. But before I get to that, I have on my notes here, I should mention that Christians, especially around the Reformation, went against fasting. They ditched fasting. One of the times I failed the ordination exams, it's because I quoted John Calvin on Lent. Lent is not a very reformed practice. Calvin actually called it of the devil. You can see why I got failed. But now there's been a kind of coming back. Now that we've separated the legality or the pharisaicalism of, there's been a reformation or a just return as reformed theologians and as reformed Christians and starting to be introduced to this amazing concept. This amazing idea of giving up food primarily. You can fast from all kinds of other stuff, but giving up food primarily And then the words of Mother Teresa, so that you could feast on God. You give up earthly food so we can feast on God. The reasons remain the same. Fasting, this is a quote from Lauren, fasting is meant to take you temporarily out of the realm of the physical and focus your attention heavenward. A couple weekends, last weekend, you talked about, because they were studying in the women's half day. How'd that go, by the way?
Yes.
That's what I heard, too. But I'm married to the leader, so I don't know. I can never. Jane, thank you for saying something. That's wonderful. Notice Jane and Jane are wearing the same outfit and sitting next to each other. This is Jane Day. Okay. They were talking about heaven and Paul's concept of heaven not being a place but being a realm. And they were just basking in the truth that if Jesus is your king, you're in the kingdom of God. And you're in that realm. And as Starlet walks into the kingdom triumphant, there's a very thin veil because Jesus is her king and Jesus is my king. And in realm sense, we're all in the same room right now, right? Klaus, you hear Elizabeth in this place, right? And fasting is a quick ticket to that. Is you start to realize as you get hungry, you start to realize if you fast, you'll notice this. You'll be hungry for a little bit, but then you'll realize I'm really not that hungry. And you start to feel the sense of what Jesus says, you know, man doesn't live on bread alone. But on God, He sustains us, not our meals. And you enter into this realm where, and it's more real. It's like a more real realm than this realm. Anyway, I'm saying realm a lot. I'm going to stop. Second reason remains the same. Rabbis say fasting at its core is about repentance. Did you read that in our text? Humble ourselves before our God. Fasting is about realizing you are God. I'm a creature. I'm a creation. My hunger pains remind me that I can't do this on my own. I can't just grit my teeth and bear it. I need to be sustained. I need to be taken care of. From my personal experience, first I get really, really hungry. I'll confess I am a hangry person. Hunger and anger put together. I get hangry. But that lasts for about 30 to 45 minutes. And then after that, for some reason, I always drift back to childhood. I always revert back to being a kid. And I think that's what the rabbis are talking about. You're still little Jason. You're still little Danny. You're still little Kimmy. We're still God's children. Don't get too big for your britches, as a previous generation would say. And the results still remain the same. Fasting is not meant to drag us down, but it is to still us. What was that last song we sang right before? There was a still one, wasn't there? A still one?
Well, there was the phrases,
Be still, there is a healer. Be still, there's a comforter. Be still, there is hope. Be still, God is still in control. Be still and know that I am God. I haven't lost track of you. There's this connection that comes, and it only comes from fasting, and it's deep. Mother Teresa also said, you never realize Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. You start to peel back the things that you think you have to have, and food is at the top of that for me. And so if you start to peel that back, you realize, no. In the stillness, you get these quiet whispers of, hey, I love you. Hey, I can take care of that. Hey, you're going to be okay. Hey, don't be afraid. I've got you. Rabbi M adds, when you're fasting, and you spiritually feel hungry, you are to remember that you are really hungry for God. And this bleeds into the application. Lauren says, this phrase helps me every single time. And she says, every time I'm fasting, when I start to feel hungry, I say, I am hungriest for God. My truest hunger is for God. Say that with me. I am hungriest for God. Maybe just that first part. I am hungriest for God. And then the second part, my truest hunger is for God. My truest hunger is for God. So when we fast, let's repeat that. I am hungriest for God. My truest hunger is for God. And then create those still moments. Create those moments where God is whispering. And then I think our last application goes back to our text. And I want to read it again. There, by the Ahava Canal, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask Him for a safe journey for us and our children. I want to call us this morning, PCC, to fast. Let's fast. Which day of the week? This week, who wants to fast with me? Tim, what's a good day? And we either do a half day or a full day, depending on which level you want to do. Nobody's getting real excited. Here you go, we got a guy in the back, or a woman in the back, sorry. I think that was a deep and profound truth, but okay. Who wants to fast and what day of the week should we fast? Monday through Friday,
half day.
You want to do the whole week?
Half day.
Let's do one day. I guess it's too big of a pool. I like that this guy's laughing at how stupid I am. Okay, let's do Tuesday. Anybody okay with Tuesday? Okay, perfect. And what are we going to fast for? We're going to fast for safety. We're going to fast for safety. Have anybody seen any news stories lately? They tried to shoot our president. They tried to murder him. Right? We have people on the news viciously attacking one another. They're not even veiling it. They're calling each other evil and stupid and foolish. This is an unsafe time. I can't even count how many times this week I said to Jesus, I feel attacked. I feel dragged down. We're going to fast on Tuesday and either do a half day or a full day fast. And if you're a part of session, we'll break that fast together at our meal that Malia will prepare for us, which might be soup. But we're going to fast for the safety. Safety of us, safety of the followers of Jesus, safety for this current family, safety for our families and our children. Who in here is worried about their child, right? This place is so confusing and so messed up. Their compasses are twirling all these crazy directions. We as the people of God are being called to fast. This time it's through Jason Warren Griffiths. This time it was through Ezra. And through it all, let's remember, every time you start to feel hungry, you say, I am hungriest for God. My truest hunger is for God. Danny answered. You got you. You were following. Let's stand. Let's stand and sing the first and the third verse of this hymn. Cleanse me. And my wife reminded me, she said, if you aren't able to fast physically, don't fast from food, fast from TV, fast from Facebook, fill in the blank. And also, I'd like to say from Celebration of Disciplines by Richard Foster, he says that in his fasting chapter, it's always better to party than it is to fast, and especially amongst the community of God. So if somebody rolls into town on Tuesday and you're supposed to be fasting and not eating, throw the fasting out the window and they'll say, let's party. Let's have some joy up in this joint. You know what I'm talking about? Right, Kenny? How was harvest? Sean, how was harvest? I wonder how many people came to the Lord last night. Angels are probably throwing it down right now. Right? Man, that's a good thing. That's a good thing to just bask in that place. And it says over and over in Scripture, be joyful when you give. And the reason we take an offering is to keep the joy going at this outpost and also to serve the least and the lost in this, our corner of the kingdom of God. So you want to be a part of that adventure? Tithes, offerings, and gifts are now received.
Please be seated and pray with me. Almighty Father, we praise you for this beautiful day, for your sunshine and this opportunity to come together. We praise you for how you lift our spirits, how you open our hearts and our minds. We praise you for transforming us each and every day into your new creations. We lift up and we give praise and thanks for George and Elsie Ihara and Dwayne and Bev Tobert's anniversaries this week. We thank you for the example of faithfulness and love that their marriages have been. We ask that you would continue to open our ears to hear your messages of hope, to transform our daily lives like only you can. Surprise us this week with your presence, as we take breaks from things that we normally do. May we experience childlike joy through your Holy Spirit as we feast on you. We lift up our leaders of session as they listen for your leading this Tuesday. We ask that you would continue to fill this church, to fill your congregants here, to spill out and spread your gospel in the world that needs it so desperately. We ask that you would continue to be with our leaders. We pray and lift up all of the broken, war-torn areas of the world. We look to you, Sovereign God, Only you can bring hope and peace. Only you can bring beautiful things out of dust. There is so much pain in the world and even in our own lives. God, we ask that you meet us in the valleys this morning. Open our ears to hear your voice of compassion. Be near to our hearts that are aching. We ask that you wrap your loving arms around Natalie, Starlene, Debbie, Dusty, Helen and Chuck, Buzz, Gwen, Joel, Terry, Patty, Dick, Sandy, Mary, and Jane, and each one that we name in our hearts, Lord, now. And we pray as Jesus taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
are so blessed with musicians around here. Thank you, Cornell. Send you out with this benediction. May God's face shine upon you. May the power and the presence of His Holy Spirit guard and keep you. And may the peace of Christ, the peace that transcends all understanding, guard your hearts today, tomorrow, forevermore. Let it be so. Amen.